I don't know why, but I feel especially nervous today. Will you pray for me, please, for a moment? Sweet Jesus, help me. Help us. Holy Spirit, fill us. Father, be here with us and be pleased and glorified by this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Our expository text today will be taken from Mark chapter 12, verses 13 to 17. You can find that in your pew Bibles, page 49. And it says like this. Later, the leaders sent. Later, the leaders sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something that he could, for which he could be arrested. Teacher, they say, we know how honest you are. You are impartial and don't play favorites. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or shouldn't we? Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said, why are you trying to trap me? Show me a Roman coin and I'll tell you. When they handed it to him, he asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. And his reply completely amazed them. This is the word of the Lord. All right. Some time ago, my family and I were looking to buy a property, and we were open to the possibility of it being a fixer-upper. As you know, these properties tend to be cheaper, and you can put that personal touch right from the beginning. And we set our eyes in a two-story house that were close to where we live, we used to live. But we made a mistake of telling the information to someone else that we know, but we did not know that this person was looking for an income property, right? So this person decided to try to take the wind out of our sails, try to steal our thunder. So she went ahead and with an expert went to the house. And the expert told her that that house wasn't worth it for her because the septic tank was misplaced and the location of the house was bad and blah, 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 all those things. She didn't get it. And we didn't get it either. But someone did, and they fixed the house to a bare minimum, you know, to make it livable. It's when they finished, they put it into the market for rental. And it wasn't in the market for long, and it got tenants upstairs and downstairs. And ever since, that was more than a year ago, I think, even probably two already. And it hasn't emptied. And you know how hard these days is to rent a house or to sell a house. So for her, it was a missed opportunity, right? And there you go. You wanted an expert. There you go. That's your expert, right? And if you could, this could move. But it doesn't. Anyway, maybe the batteries are low or something. Can you go upstairs? But God puts opportunities in front of us all the time, and we know that. And if you are a Christ follower, those opportunities often come to make you grow in the likeness of God, of Christ, or to bless other people. And God put you in the middle of the church, this church, which he had gifted with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers in order for you to be equipped to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ, as it says in Ephesians 4. Let me ask you, do you see Pastor Bob as a gift from God? How do you, definitely, I hear that. Can you record that? No? Anyway, he's not here, but she said definitely, Pastor Bob, in case you hear this later on. But definitely, but how do you react to his messages? How do you take them? Do you take them to the heart? Does it make a difference? How do you see the teachers that are here as a gift from God? Women's ministry, men's ministry, children's, youth. And again, how does that affect your behavior? Or you just walked out and you just forget what they said? It makes no difference to you? Right now, we have several things on our church calendar that I would love you to see as opportunities from God. Starting for the women's conference. It's going to be held on September 11 and 12. And it's designed, and I quote, to go from a casual Christianity to discipleship and living a life driven by a desire to be like Christ. Ladies, can you see the opportunity there to grow? See Anita for more details. Also, we have a 4-session, as I mentioned, course to improve our gospel fluency. A lot of people tell me, you know, I don't share my faith because I don't have the gift of evangelism. But did you know that such a gift does not exist? As I read, as I quote loosely, that verse from Ephesians 4 says that the gift is the evangelist, not evangelism, and that his work is to equip you to do his work. You see the difference? So I'll be waiting for you all on September 2, because I know you've been waiting for a course like this. And the idea, guys, is for us to stop thinking about sharing our faith as a presentation, like we are selling something. My heart is for us to learn how to make a conversation, ask good questions, and listen and hear the answers. So as you can see, God has placed many opportunities right here in our house for us to grow, to be more like Christ. But also, God has given us another opportunity to bless others. And on September 19, we have the fundraiser, La Cucaracha Extra Large. And it's to help our youth ministry to go to the next level. So if you're happy with the work that I've been doing with the youth, I expect that you will support this so we can go further. And if you're not happy with the work that I've been doing with the youth, I expect that you support this because maybe this will help. All right? So I know it looks like a lot, but let me give you an example. I don't know how many people we have here, but 100 people committed to sell 2 tickets before Sunday. 2 tickets. If we do that, because as you know, we are partnering with Mar Azul, the church that meets here in the afternoon. And it's in Bellas Artes, in Guaynabo. And if we do that, we can fill that theater because we sell our 600 and they sell their 600. But, you know, you can buy them online. So we don't have to sell 600, I'm sure. But if 100 of you can commit to sell 2 tickets before Sunday, and then next Sunday, and then next. And we have about a month, but in 3 weeks we can do this. And I think it's pretty doable. And besides our youth ministry, we'll be supporting Young Lives. Like I said, it's a ministry that works with teenage moms, giving them hope and giving them the gospel and the love of Christ. So will you say how all of this relates to the passage that we've just read? And you've been seeing this all morning. It's missed opportunities. That's the title of our message this morning. And in the passage we read, we find the religious leaders in the continuation of trying to find an excuse to arrest Jesus. And they send some people, Pharisees and people that support Herod. And these are two groups that are ally in their acceptance of the Roman occupation. The Pharisees, they saw it as a divine punishment, and the people from Herod got it or saw it as an opportunity for political advantage, right? Now, I'm not reading the newspaper. This was, you know, thousands of years ago, but it looks a lot like some things are going on nowadays, right? And after tickling Jesus' ears for a little bit, they ask about the payment of the taxes. You see, in addition to the numerous custom taxes, tolls, and other charges, each Roman province was obliged to pay the imperial tribute. And the same sum was exacted from all, rich and poor alike. So as you can imagine, this was a very unpopular tax for the people. And that's precisely why they come up with this idea, because it's a controversial topic. And what better than a controversial topic to try to make a leader trip? But then we see Jesus' response, and I love what it says in verse 15. It says that Jesus saw through their hypocrisy. Bless you. Can you imagine? Maybe there were two idiots, like, elbowing each other behind the one asking the question, like, now we got him. I don't know how it happened, right? But we know that the Spirit revealed to Jesus that it was a trap. And then Jesus asked for a coin and asked a very important question, and I don't want us to miss it. And now, let me illustrate. Has it ever happened to any of you where you make a comment or ask a question in hopes that that one person hear it and in return ask a question or make a comment so you can start a conversation? And if you know what I'm talking about, you know this is especially frustrating when it happens with someone that you secretly love. And they don't get it, right? They don't get the indirect. Well, I think that even though Jesus was very clear in affirming the Roman occupation or the Roman authority over the Jews and the citizen responsibility of paying taxes, at the same time that he avoids falling into their trap, I hear him, and for me, it's like one of these situations. Because as you may know, Jesus was an expert. He was the master of asking questions so he could develop them into a deeper conversation. You know this, but he is the master. And when I hear this question, I cannot help to think that Jesus wanted to use it to start a deeper conversation, but they don't get it. He asked in verse 16, whose picture and title are stamped on it? And he looked something like this. Caesar, they replied. And then Christ says, well, Jesus, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. Do you see it? His reply completely amazes them, but their curiosity abandoned them. Their heart was too hardened, and they were thinking too much about their own agendas and what they wanted to do, that they didn't see it. Jesus just laid something of great value in front of their eyes, but their eyes were closed. Nobody was talking about God at that point, but Jesus said, give to God what belongs to God. This is the indirect comment that I'm telling you about. He wanted to hear from their heart the important question, and what is God's? And I can almost hear the master begging the question so he can give them the answer. What image is stamped on you? Because yes, brothers and sisters, God has placed his image in each of us. And it's that image that yearns to go back into a connection with him like a baby yearns for milk. These experts like the one in my story, had the opportunity, but because their heart was too hard, they missed it, and they were more concerned about their personal agenda. He wanted to hear from the hungry hearts that question, and he could give them the answer, because Jesus is the answer. And you might think, the answer to what? Well, many things. But first and foremost, to the questions, what do I do with this guilt? What do I do with this chain? Because if your heart is asking these questions, let me tell you that Jesus died on the cross. So when you realize that you stand guilty before a holy God, you also recognize that he loved you so much that he poured his wrath on Jesus so you can stand justified in the presence of a perfect God. And if you can't forget and forgive what others have done to you, let me tell you that his sacrifice also covers your anger, your chain, your frustration by his grace. Because sometimes we have the t-shirt in front of us, but we are so caught up in our sin and our personal agendas that we don't see him, we don't hear him, and we try to satisfy this hunger at other places, and we start building idols all over the place. Meanwhile, Jesus is begging the question. With what questions did you came here today? Maybe if you're a believer, you said, what am I going to do with my marriage? How can I help my children? How can I help myself, my wife? What do I do with this situation at my work, at my job? And maybe you haven't brought that question before the Master, and he wants to help you. Maybe if you don't know Jesus, if someone invited you here today, you have a lot of questions. But let me tell you, the first question that you have to ask is what this preacher telling me is the truth. That I feel that I'm such a good person, can I be guilty of something? Is that true? That God is so perfect, so just, so holy, that he will see even the tiniest thing that I've thought about, the tiniest deed that I've done? But let me give you hope in saying that if you have that question, he is the answer. You place your trust in him. And could it be that you have come face to face with the Messiah today, and you feel that he's trying to get you to open your heart, and that he's begging the question, and that he's giving you the answer, that he's offering himself as the answer? Let me tell you, don't let this moment be another missed opportunity. God is telling you to come to him. Jesus is telling you, I came to fulfill the law that you and I have broken so many times, the one that makes us guilty before a perfect God. Jesus is telling you, I have come so you can live the life to the fullest, and so whoever believes in me can have eternal life. That is the answer. Accept it, and he won't let you down. So if by hearing my words, you've realized you've been blinded to the many opportunities God is placing before you to become more like Christ and to bless others, I pray that you will take a moment and ask for forgiveness and tell God, help me take advantage of these opportunities. And if you have realized that you've never had a connection with Christ, that you never repented of your sin, that you put your trust in him, I pray that you will do that today. And please don't leave this place if you have questions. I'm totally willing to answer any questions that you have. And I know there are people here that is willing to do so too. If there is something that I've said that is confusing, if you don't really understand, I was there once, and I know we need people that come beside us and help us understand this. But the truth is that this is the best news in the world. The truth is that if you take that step forth and you put your faith in Christ, He will help you. He will give you new desires. He will renew your mind and your heart, and He will guide you through life. So that's my prayer today. Join me in prayer. Sweet Jesus, thank you so much for being here and for everything that you've done. Thank you, God, for the ideas that you place in our minds to help each other grow in your likeness. God, I pray for the conference that is being planned and the speaker that is going to be here with us, that you bless it and you will let the ladies know what a true disciple of Christ is. God, I pray that you will put in our hearts the desire of seeing our friends and families and co-workers come to faith, and that you will make us understand that we are placed where we are to do just that. But maybe we have doubts. Maybe we don't know how, God, but I pray that you will move us to fulfill that mission, and that you will use that gospel fluency course to help us do just that. God, and I pray for a successful event with La Cucaracha Extra Large, not for our egos, God, but for your glory. And I pray that each of us here see the need of investing in such an important group in our society, teenagers, and that we can show grace, God, the grace that has been shown to us. And lastly, God, I pray that there is a heart here that is screaming for your mercy, that is screaming for your grace, God, that you will hear that heart this morning and you will give them an answer. God, I pray that lives will be restored in the relationship with you today. God, and that you will give us wisdom to answer questions and come along those who put the trust in you and help them walk the walk, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.